And our second lesson for today is the Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter, and it's verses 21 through 28. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus entered and the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of the man. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. The end of our second lesson, the Gospel. Grace to you and peace from our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, and from the desert. Is a bad apple rotten to the core, as we often say? Or can you really cut out the bad and save the good? If you've ever prepared apples for an apple pie, maybe a Dutch apple pie, you know that occasionally a bruised apple can mostly be salvaged. You also know that if it is rotted to the core, there is still some part that can be saved if you adapt your surgical skills and find the good slices. You might say rehab those good slices. Well, Jesus was not familiar with apples, but he probably knew something about figs and pomegranates and olives and how to rescue those who were bruised or considered mostly rotten apples or rotten and make them good. And as Mark tells us in today's gospel, Jesus was particularly good at finding good parts of people and exorcising the bad. In Jesus' day, and for the some of us today, people believed in people being possessed by evil spirits. Jesus came along with exorcisms and showed that evil spirits could be removed from good people. For he saw that all people were good. God created all good. Just like those apples, the bad could be removed and the person could become a useful, healed citizen. When I was called to St. John's Lutheran Church in Eau Claire, my first call in 1989, I had a constant reminder of that good versus bad battle within each one of us. During the Christmas season, in the old German tradition, this was as a matter of fact, they had services in German up until the 50s. The worship ministry had two huge, perfectly formed, in the German tradition, perfectly formed spruce trees flanking the altar. One tree was decked out with red apples and the other with chrismons. The idea, apples were our original sin and got the rap being the bad fruit. The white chrismons are cleansing in Christ. Chrisman is a shortened word, as many of you probably know, for Christ monograms. They've been around for about 2,000 years and were helpful when people were illiterate to help them with the faith, and helpful today as symbols of our faith. They were revived in the 1950s when a woman in Illinois wanted a more solemn celebrating of Jesus' birth. That bad apple and that good Christian tradition held as long as I was at that church, far into the 90s. A few years ago, someone decided we could celebrate Jesus' birth with two celebrative trees, not the bad apple and the chrismon. So the old tradition died. This past year, either due to the pandemic or just change, and people not knowing what the tradition was because the church has changed so much, only one tree with various colored lights bedecked the sanctuary, so that good and bad was totally gone. Anyway, I rather like the idea of bringing the bad and the good together in one tree or one thing, because that is what we all are. Created good mixed with worldly influenced evil, as we well know. That dilemma of people being possessed with evil brought people who were, I suppose today we would say bipolar or schizophrenic or personality defects, and they or they had more severe illnesses like AIDS, or back then it would have been lepers, to be considered possessed by evil. That was the way they could explain crazy behavior or illness or defects. They could just say the person was possessed. Nothing could be done, and it's kind of true today in some ways, and these ill people were shunned, even thrown out of community, which was the most important thing to people back then, probably is today too. The community excommunication left these people without a caring person, a caring community, an earthly death sentence. So today's gospel story relates how Jesus was in the synagogue in Capernaum. He was in the holy structure. Just then, one of these people, these unclean people, came in and was possessed, supposedly, by an evil spirit. "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth?" In Mark, they always, the evil spirits always recognized Jesus. That was something unique about the Gospel of Mark. The bad spirit ID'd Jesus, the Holy One of God. The evil spirits recognized Jesus. Then there is this wild scene. The man starts convulsing. Can you imagine this in a church? Convulsing and crying out loud. The yucky, unclean spirit explodes out of the man, the rejected man, in the Jewish pure, clean synagogue. And if you know anything about Jewish religion, the synagogue cannot be defiled. Jesus always shows extreme contrast. Well, that event would shock anyone, right? And it did. Jesus shows that evil spirits actually obey him. That was what was really unique about this situation. Jesus cleanses the synagogue by cleansing the evil spirit out. Thus, the action spreads by word of mouth, and Jesus becomes famous as one of authority over demons, as he had already become famous as calming waters, so he had control over nature. So at first, people in the synagogue thought their sacred place had been defiled, but Jesus turns it into a spot of healing, of wholeness for an injured man, and for a wholeness in community. There have been dreamers who dismissed our evil nature, trying to see just the good in the world. Remember Leonardo da Vinci? He was an artist, inventor, prophet, dreamer. He envisioned a time when people would fly in enclosed contraptions. He envisioned using them to bring snow from the high mountains, which we have here, high mountains, to sprinkle cities with the cooling of the mountains in the summer when it was hot. He was right. We did invent airplanes, but he was wrong about their use. They were used to sprinkle not snow, but sprinkle bombs. Then there was Alfred Nobel of Peace Prize fame, another dreamer. He thought the invention of dynamite would bring people to so fear their destructive capabilities and cause them to live in peace, because now whole armies and cities could be blown up. As we know, he was wrong too. That evil spirit reared its ugly head and continues to rear its ugly head. Jesus was an exorcist, not a retaliator. Jesus challenged Old Testament evil spirit thinking. If you know the text from Deuteronomy, show no pity, life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. An eye for an eye is where we get that expression in Deuteronomy. So some people think that's the way it has to be because it's in the Bible. Well, Jesus came and differed with that. And this is the thing people miss. He differed with that. He did not believe in an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. He believed in turning the other cheek. Jesus referred to Jewish religious leaders who taught that retaliation as those who made law as excuses for a vindictive spirit. Those leaders distorted the intent of God. Mahatma Gandhi, as you know, a leader of the oppressed people in India, and yet another dreamer, for confronted evil while dreaming. He followed the teachings of Christ without being a Christian. So Mahatma Gandhi followed and declared, "An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, makes the whole world blind and toothless." I love that. I love that quote. Unfortunately, today, we have some misguided alternate realities, you might say, that lead to evil spirits of various sorts among us, inside some of us. We need only look a few weeks back. In no way do I mean this to be political, but only to show that we have evil spirits and the Holy Spirit reigning among us at the same time. Remember this year's celebration, the Day of Epiphany? Who doesn't remember January 6th, Epiphany, our holy day, meant to be a manifestation of God's glory revealed to conclude the Christmas season? Like the light of the Bethlehem star that guided those three scientists to Jesus, the light of Christ reveals who we are. We are the children of God, baptized in Christ to be shining lights ourselves by sharing the good news of Jesus' love, Christ's love among us. That's the simple message, love. Our epiphany, however, on the 6th of January, 2021, was anything but a manifestation, a visible show of God's love on the steps of our nation's sacred, just like perhaps that Jewish synagogue was defiled, the Capitol building. An insurrection in the United States of America Capitol against our own people is not being guided by the Bethlehem Star of Christ. People who have become possessed with strange ideas, pure evil, are not being guided by the Bethlehem Star. Defiling one of the most sacred symbols of our democratic republic is definitely not being guided by the light of Jesus' love. We might compare it to defiling that synagogue Jesus entered and had to throw out the evil spirit. It made no difference which political party one claimed. Legislators and viewers witnessed an horrific event. Broken windows, marked up walls, injured and killed police officers and others, death threats chanted to our Speaker of the House and others, and trying to hang the vice president, a whole Capitol building evacuated underground to other safe havens while the takeover continued. Finally, the siege was quelled, the evil spirits exorcised, the calm restored. Then some amazing thing happened. Good spirits in people rose to the occasion. A police officer, Mr. Goodman, led insurrectionists the wrong way, away from the people they sought to injure and perhaps kill. A legislator, Jason Crow, held the hand of a frightened co-legislator, Susan Wild of Pennsylvania. Other officers led lawmakers to safety while Secret Service had to hold guns to fend off the perpetrators. Many more acts of love ascended from the bad spirit's entry that day. Finally, the chaos ended and the business of certifying our president could continue that night. 2 weeks later, a battered and beat up Capitol with still a few broken windows and marks of terror hosted the peaceful passing of power in the very place that had been defiled. The good spirit had exorcised the bad spirit. The inauguration went off with much more awareness of evil possessing some people. It's okay to protest, isn't it? but it isn't okay to kill people. And the Holy Spirit entering and bringing peace and calm again. Note that Jesus removed an unclean spirit in the midst of his community of faith. He was Jewish, which was also Capernaum's actual community. The insurrection at the Capitol is, in a sense, our sacred place, our community that makes laws for us. It made us sick, but once again, it was community of God that prevailed. Jesus was and is a savior and an exorcist. What we learn over time is that the power of God is greater than the power of evil. God is love. And when love enters, evil cannot survive for long. Jesus says, "Be quiet, unclean spirit, and come out of my children." As we know, apples, even supposedly rotten to the core, can be redeemed with some excising of the bad and keeping the good apple. There is good in cutting out the bad, in pruning, in exorcising the bad. Christ proves that by his ever-present exorcisms of you and me when we go astray, and we all do at one time or another. By exorcising evil in the world and healing us, Christ makes the whole world good apples, or as we often say, good eggs. We exorcise the evil within us, within community, only through Jesus' love reigning and being poured out to all we meet with love. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds on Christ Jesus. Amen.